So, who would like to make a comment about the amount of heavy energy in the group as we begin tonight? What do you notice?
There's a density within my body that is, I can feel it separately in my calves and in my torso.
So that represents heavy energy to you, Lisa?
Before it starts moving, right? It's not yet flowing down.
Okay. How about anyone else? How are you sensing it?
My heart's beating fast, and as much as I try to settle in, there's a sort of a distraction happening.
Okay, so that gives you an indication that there's heavy energy. Kim, you don't have to raise your hand.
Yeah, I accidentally hit
Okay.
that. Let me lower that. But I wanted to comment. I think I experience it as like a headiness, like pressure up in the head, top of the crown.
This is excellent. Ken, did you want to say
Yeah, I have
something?
just a heaviness in my chest and in my body, but I had that before. So I couldn't tell if that was, I would say that's my, what I bring to the group, not what the group is, how the group is affecting me.
So that would be yes, what you bring to the group, but also if the group energy is not circulating or starting to circulate, and you don't notice a difference in you, then that might be an indication for you.
Okay, yeah, it feels real stuck.
And don't feel bad about this. This is really important for everyone to be able to notice because this is better than most gatherings. So how else are you knowing the heavy energy?
It's Fran, and my heart feels heavier than it did, and I found myself becoming a bit mental, more thoughts that weren't there.
Okay. So I want you to all see how you know this, what your cues are. Okay. What else? Who else?
It's Renee. I'm aware of my limbs feeling really light, and I feel a lot of energy. When I tune in with my core, my heart feels, my whole chest feels really thick and heavy. And I hadn't noticed any of this until you asked about how are we sensing the heavy energy in the group.
Good.
I was not aware.
Now you are.
Yes.
Good. Okay. Carolyn?
Similar to what Russell has said, just hard to like, oh, I'm not able to feel the ground here. Just a difficulty rooting.
Okay. These are very clear indications. Good. Who else?
It's Laura, and I'm noticing my lower half is tight, and there's kind of a lot of fuzziness in my head, and my breathing is shallow.
Excellent.
This is Michelle,
Uh-huh.
and I feel a thickness in front of me and a density. And stagnant is a word, but there's another word for it that's not solidified, it's in between. So,
Sticky icky.
yeah, that would be good.
Glycerin.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a good description.
This is Elena, and I notice it as the constriction around my abdomen, which is interesting because I do have a sense of my tailbone. So there's kind of this back and forth that keeps drawing me out of my grounding. And then also just a lot of pressure in my head.
Who do we have left? Tiffany and Lakshmi?
I'll
Trish?
Go.
Uh-huh.
Can you hear me with this setup?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel a denseness or heaviness in my lower abdomen. And also just sort of an inability to, I'll start to settle and then not. And I feel a sort of a back and forth with that.
Good. Good.
This is Trish. I pretty much ditto what everybody's saying, but there's a profound silence to it, just stillness with no flow for sure.
This is Lakshmi.
I can barely hear you, Lakshmi.
Is this better?
No, but go ahead.
So when you first asked, I couldn't figure out if it was just my energy or if it was the circle's energy. But after you asked, I started realizing my feet are heavy, but there's a subtle difference between the heaviness I usually have when I'm grounding. And I had thought usually when heavy energy is being cleared, I have a tightness around my chest, but today I didn't notice it. So I initially thought it was good until you asked the question. So I'm a little confused how to still identify the heaviness.
You identified it with your feet.
Yes. I mean, it wasn't my chest anymore. So,
it can change every time.
Ah, okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Everyone gets a gold star. This is really important. Is this new for some of you?
Yes.
It still feels very new to me.
It feels new to me to the extent that I'm aware of it.
That's what we want to do. We want to become aware of it.
Yeah, I'm more aware, is what I said, yeah, than I was.
Yeah, good. Right, that's what we want. Go ahead, Trish.
I think so many of us will rely on you to get the rest of it or lead the grounding, that when you don't, I don't know if you did it or not, but if you don't do it, then it's more palpable. You can feel it. And then the only thing I need clarity in is, how do you discern if it's yours or the class? I mean, it seems to me it feels bigger, but between you and the class or the people in the group.
If you feel the heaviness, you lead yourself and speak to the group. I mean, to the group, taking yourself through the grounding to get the circulation going. It doesn't matter. Okay. So you guide yourself into the grounding.
Okay.
So it assume that if you're feeling some heaviness, everyone is.
Okay, I have another question. So I've been trying to move mine all day, but I've had a stressful last 2 days, but everything I've done has not really worked, sort of worked. including listening to the classes and stuff. So I'm wondering, is this just all of this here in place for the from the universe to help teach us? Or is it really this way for you most of the time?
No, no, this really had to be a big teaching tonight. So however you were brought into it, you know, the corollary to this is how did you feel all day? And did it get heavier when you came closer to the time of the circle or somehow closer during the day to the circle, time-wise? In the morning, did you feel a heaviness and couldn't shake it all day?
Yes.
All of these things are important to notice. And you don't get into me versus them or, oh my God, they have so much heavy energy. What's wrong with them? No judgment. It's noticing the energy, not glossing over it, being very realistic about it, and knowing that it could have started affecting you yesterday, during your sleep last night, during the day today, any proximity to the group getting together.
Okay. Good info. Thank you.
Yeah. Any other insights about that you've noticed in the last couple of weeks as you've been working with a group?
I guess what's been interesting for me is that, you know, I can feel my own energy, and it, going back to the Monday night classes before we started this, everything I was feeling, I kind of just assumed was my own, like other people have said. But now, as part of this program, I'm realizing it's much bigger than just that. So that's been a pretty big aha for me.
This is a big aha. So when you are connected to a group, or you're even beginning any kind, you know, with one person, two people, however many, you are going to sense the overall energy of the group, or even one or two people who might be having a particularly hard day. You might not that you should tune in and find out who it is, but if there's really dramatic negative energy going on, then there might be someone in the group that is having a hard time. And your responsibility is to keep attending to your energy, not the group's energy. And sometimes that's really challenging. What's happening with the group energy now?
Feels like we're getting some flow. Composting.
So whether you're working with one person or a group, when you enter a ceremonial relationship, it began, you know, the relationship exists whether you're meeting with them or not. You know, I've always said that the minute you register for a class or retreat, it begins. So let's say I put out the class description and a newsletter and people start signing up. I'm very aware of the group energy that's collecting. And it impacts me, and I really need to attend to my own grounding and clearing a lot. Constantly, actually. What do you think of that?
Seems like a lot of work.
And it's really important to understand that.
So, is it really work if you're clearing yourself?
No.
So
No,
what should, yeah, go ahead, Karen.
I was just thinking about 12 or 13 people's lives and all that could happen, and like managing my own energy, let alone everybody else's clearing, that felt like a lot.
Yeah, you're not clearing their energy.
Let me clarify, saying you said we're affected by it. So to me, it feels like it feels like a challenge enough to clear my own energy, let alone be affected more intimately.
Okay, this is, I asked the question, was anything really sobering for you in my email? So what if this is really true?
To me, it feels like a higher calling of commitment to being my being.
It's a beautiful way of putting it.
This is Laura. And in some ways, there's a tremendous relief because the energies were encroaching in the past. As a sensitive person, I was picking up all of that. I'm sure many of us do that, have done that. And now there's a sense of ownership, sovereignty of what is mine and what is not mine. And that 80-20 has truly just shifted so much for me to sit back in my sovereign seat.
This is Trish. Please stop me if I'm going in the wrong direction. But since it has been really hard the last week and a half, and challenging, more like what Maureen experiences, so much so that I was considering, nope, I'm not doing this anymore. This is too strong. I don't want to do this anymore.
What
And
don't you want to do? What didn't you want to do anymore?
I talked about it in our group a little bit, and actually I called Maureen and talked to her, and she helped me work through it a lot. But that
grounding became work. I never looked at it that way. I just wanted to ground so I would feel better. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw it as an avenue to getting me to a better place energetically. And it was very physical, very big, that if I wasn't, I was having a whiplash effect, so that it was affecting me physically more. And I'm still working with all of it. I'm still here. So, I'm willing to wait to the end to see. But it is very, I don't think I'm the only one having the challenging. It's also, I think I got too up in my mind about it, Sarah. I think mm-hmm. I needed to be more in my heart. And when I got in my heart, then it got the flow and the serenity and the love came in more. And then it got easier. But as long as I was going to fight it with my mind or ego, then it wasn't going to be good for me.
There you go.
So I don't know. Did I go in the wrong direction? I'm just saying it is a challenge, man. I've told you for years, I do not know how you do it. I don't. I mean, because obviously, you know, yes, you sign up for any of your classes, Sarah, boom, I'm in that group. And it's hard for me to keep it together because I do pick up on so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it's a process to learn, so I'm willing to learn. But I almost did, believe me, I almost wrote you and said, forget it, I ain't doing this. This is way too hard.
That's your default, though, so I'm glad you got beyond it.
Oh, yeah, the word run comes in my head a lot. Okay, well, I don't know. I thought I'd broach it in case anybody else was feeling that way and not knowing what to... How I guess. I can't even tell you. Just talking to... Well, other people don't know who Maureen is, but she's a friend of mine. And Sarah's. And she's very empathic. And she feels a lot. So talking to her, I can't even tell you how she did it, but she shifted me. And I thank her profusely for that. Because it's really a gift, what you're giving us, Sarah. I know that. I feel it in my heart, you know? But it's hard sometimes.
I am so glad that you talked to Maureen. I really am.
Yeah, sweet girl.
Yeah. So this is a reality of the ceremonial sphere. Now, on top of that, we have the most dense, most solar cosmic active energies that we're living in. And all of it is very, very dense. All of it. It's not so, Trish, you weren't just picking up on this group.
Oh, I'm sure of that, yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Because this group is much lighter than most groups. And I this impact needed to be highlighted because you can go into trying to guide something with a group and be unaware of where you really need to begin with them and be socked by the heavy energies if you're not aware. Remember, I've said that every group that comes together brings heavy energies, no matter who it is. Every single group, because everyone who has interacted with the culture is bringing in heavy energies. And so I really want to make the point about the relaxation and the grounding to not skip over that. And it's easy to like get into a space where you just think everything's fine and start guiding, and things can go sideways very easily.
What might be it, if you're leading a group and you say it's going to go sideways, will the response in the leader of the group or the ceremony, will she feel it like we just felt the heavy energy that came in now or when we started? What did you mean by sideways? I guess is my point.
Oh, if you try to... So if you try to lead a group into a deeper space without first relaxing and clearing, then there'll be a point at which it'll hit the wall. And also that there may be people that can't get beyond, you know how when you're in a group and someone says, the whole time I just couldn't get out of my head. That's something that would happen. You can get sick from it physically. Last week when Ken was going to meet with his group, we had one of the biggest fights of our whole relationship, and that was the heavy energy coming into our house.
Oh yeah, I've had to attend to the house big time. In the property. Salt blessings, things like that. Would that be an example, maybe in the past sometimes when you said, okay, we're going to take a break now. Why doesn't everybody go outside? I remember that. Pick a tree.
You know, or I'll start a conversation so that people are talking and kind of unwinding while I'm holding a grounded space.
Okay, now I'm going to pose another question. I haven't really had a chance to speak to the I don't know what we're calling those little group circles we're meeting in.
Your peer groups, yeah.
Oh, okay, the peer groups. And maybe someone wasn't done speaking, but the other two just so quickly went off that you were left standing kind of going, well, now what do I do?
Went off meaning what?
Got off the line.
Oh, before you had ended the...
Well, I didn't get a chance to talk.
Oh, and well, so, maybe there wasn't, maybe that wasn't being offered.
Okay.
So...
How do you know that, though?
I usually offer, you know, I usually say, does anyone have any comments or questions, right?
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
And so there have been a few times when I don't say that, when I just want the quietness to just keep going. But it's up to the person who's guiding the ceremony to offer a space for comments or questions. And if not, have a way of closing the circle.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
These are all good questions, Trish.
They're just observations, I guess.
Any more coming to you?
No, I'm still on the, I don't think we closed real well. but is it up to each person to close it themselves? Like you know, like in the instance when you do say, okay, well, we'll let this go. I mean, I've been in your groups for a long time, so I kind of know that if I'm not really done with whatever meditation we're doing, I stay with the meditation until I feel it lighten in my body and then I move. But
Mm-hmm.
you never really told us that. That's just something that evolved.
No, I
But
did.
did you?
I have.
Okay.
The closing doesn't always have to be spoken. Sometimes it's just everyone senses it. It can be in multiple ways of the closing happening. But I think with the groups that are going on right now, this is all new. This is all practice. And make all the mistakes you can make. Seriously. Make all the
Right.
mistakes you can
That's how
make.
we as humans learn through
Yeah,
mistakes.
right. Because this is the safest way to learn. And that's why I asked the question, you know, what surprised you? What was sobering? What did you notice from when I was leading the Monday night classes? You know, I sent out that checklist, but you know, a checklist is never exact. I don't go by a format. I'm watching the living energies, and those are the basics, but they're not always in the same order. They come in at different times according to the living energies. And so that's what needs to be your focus, is how connected to the living energies are you? And everyone notice now what's happening with your feet and legs. What's happening?
Mine are certainly not as grounded as they were, but
Oh.
that happens when I speak.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, that's a good practice.
I know.
That they so get back down there. Are we feeling some circulation going on now?
Yes. And my calf muscles really softened, like quickly.
So Ken hates when I do this, but I purposefully started the circle without me doing the grounding for the group so you could feel what the actual energy is like when a group starts. And this is a fantastic group compared to most. And then I started bringing in my circulation more, and then we started feeling it more. So, as the ceremonial guide, you have to be aware of your energy and the circulation of your energy first and foremost. And then that helps you notice what's happening with the group energy.
Sarah, this is Laura. I have a question. I was part of the group with Ken. Actually, I think I was facilitating that night. And I didn't feel the heavy energies prior. I spent a lot of time grounding throughout the day and a significant amount of time before the group. I felt a lot of expansion in my seat, my feet. So I'm just curious about when you said that there was that the group energy. Can you just talk a little bit more about what you're meaning?
Well, just the general getting together of a few people always brings heavy energy. And so you weren't responsible for clearing the group at all. You were responsible to yourself, which was great. But then when the group comes together, to be able to assess what they're bringing in. And you may not even be aware during the day of what's happening. But at some point, you need to be able to know what's gathering. And then spend the time clearing and not rushing through the relaxation and grounding.
So, Sarah,
go ahead.
You said you weren't grounding at the beginning.
Well, I was grounding, but I wasn't leading the group into anything. I just let the group energy come together. But I wasn't ever, like Trish said, everyone expects me to guide the grounding, so I didn't do that.
But were you grounded yourself? I mean, were you actively grounding?
Yes. But
so
only
why,
with.
Why all of a sudden did it feel like there was release at some point? More
because
so.
I got involved and my energy started impacting the group. I had withheld my energy from the group.
How did you get involved? Leading.
Because I saw that people were having insight about the heavy energy. And that was the point that the guides really wanted to be made tonight. And so once I saw that people were really getting this, then I started I came into the role of the ceremonial leader.
Now, but
otherwise,
ceremony.
I was holding my energy back.
And how is it different? Being grounding yourself and grounding for the group.
I wasn't in the role yet of the ceremonial leader for myself. I just hadn't taken that step into the role.
So the ceremonial leader has a very important role, maybe over and above the participants in some way.
There's the role of holding energy and maintaining a certain frequency. And then as you initiate the group, I was following the guides that were guiding the group. They told me to hold, you know, stay back. And so there was a space created that I could see for to have an impact and sense heavy energy in a non-idealistic way, in a real sobering way. And then I was brought into it.
Could a participant do the same thing, have that same effect?
Yes. Every participant has an effect. But you are, as a ceremonial guide, you have a role. And so my role is to follow the guidance of the illuminated beings that are teaching us here.
And Sarah, that's where I think I have my largest, I don't even know what word to use, there is a distinct difference about being able to sense heavy energy and follow the guides as a facilitator.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I feel I've had just begun to discover my own feelings and process before the training. And I took it because I knew it would bring up a lot of things, and those things are being brought up through the facilitation process. And it is, it's almost like performance anxiety. I mean, my past is just coming mm-hmm. back.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew it's always been an issue, so I knew it was going to be big, but it's almost like I'm shutting down now. The first time I haven't yet formally facilitated with our group yet. I have been practicing, but I'm realizing that doing my own personal meditation is, it's gotten so much deeper and richer since we began this training. And for that, I'm so grateful. The connections to living a sacred life and connections to the living energies are really very palpable, but not in the same way, I think, in which you are guided specifically. And so I just don't, I'm having a hard time in that transition there. So that's where I'm You're, at.
Yeah. So, so speaking to someone this week, I would say I'm guiding a minimum of 100 small groups, minimum, maybe 200 or 300. Would get you to a place where you can be more aware of what's really going on.
You know, when I think of the past life that I've lived on the stage, and I think about how the experience and the connection with the people there is very palpable, and it's red, but it's not red from the inside out. It's red from really what you receive from them and in. Right. So there's an exchange, and doing this is just the opposite in respect. All your energy is within. You're working with your own energy. And it is true that it's so simple to follow someone when they are truly in their own presence.
Mm-hmm.
You resonate beautifully and just move through the stages without thinking about it.
And that's true. And that's what Carolyn's comment really illustrated.
Yes. The presence. You know, you hit it, performance versus presence. And I said, I'm going to go through it. I need to go through it. And yeah, I'm going through it. So that's where I'm kind of at right now.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So you need to go. When I say this, it's really true. Yes. A couple hundred sessions of guiding something would really start cluing you in. So I want you to have a realistic expectation. This is just the beginning. And a lot was deposited in each of you, was transmitted. And it's going to take a while for it to integrate and express within you as your unique expression. But this is the beginning.
I'm, it is a beginning, and I'm so grateful for this experience, but it's so daunting that I think it's another lifetime it might happen. I'm not sure this one.
That's unless, jumping ahead a little. Just
oh my gosh.
That's not taking into account how much the planetary awakening is happening and all the that we're going
yeah,
through.
Yeah, there is so much. There is true. There is so much. And that's at, even at another level of awareness to be able to register that and understand that. Like you just said, all that heavy energy came into your home and you realized it came in, right? And things got volatile prior to that. Well, I had some volatile moments this week, but I didn't think about heavy energies coming into my home. So it's like my whole way of seeing and thinking and perceiving has got to totally transform.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Yes. But I mean, think about what I say. Please don't go on your social media. Please don't look at your phones, because the energy will affect the group. Isn't that a clue to what would be happening if you were watching the news at home or listening? You know, some people have the TV news on all day long. What are they carrying with them? But when I say those things, aren't they clues to make you wonder if we can feel that in a group, what's going on every time we go on social media?
Well, I've never been on social media, honestly.
Oh, I'm talking about a computer. I'm talking in the biggest general sense. If you go on a computer for email.
Okay. Yeah, I typically don't do a computer. If I have to look at email, it's usually quick. I do the minimal amount when it comes with technology.
You know, but it's all that, everything is... we're swimming in it.
Sarah, when Lara said early on about how it was such a supportive concept for her to have, to know it's just her sovereignty, that like shifted everything for me. Like that burden of everything kind of dissipated. It's that I'm simply, it's my sovereignty, that's what I'm responsible for. And it, for me, I want to thank you, Lara, for saying that, because it really had an impact on me.
Good. So what happens to your energy, this is in general, when you're concerned about how people are responding to you? If you're guiding something or facilitating something,
I would get in my head.
This is for everyone.
Yeah, it feels like that would be a fear response. And so, you know, my nervous system would contract, and I think it would really tense up, and then, you know, like Carolyn said, then jump into my head for sure.
You're thinking ahead that might happen. Has it ever happened? I mean, is that your known experience?
I guess, absolutely. I feel like if I'm, even when I was teaching, that would happen sometimes. If I was I thought I was in a flow, and then I was wondering, you know, is everyone getting this? I could feel my energy shift, and I would get into my head, and then, you know, it would kind of devolve from there.
Yeah. Okay. You just express it as something that would happen, you know, thinking that, not that it has.
Right. Happened. Yeah. I was projecting it in the space of leading a circle. So I was going that way instead of just from a lived experience, and, you know, not necessarily a sacred circle, but yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay, I have maybe something to put in just for me. I don't know if it, just the way I feel it. If we're in a circle, any of your classes, there are really, and one person wants to come forward or is making passing judgment or just falling out of the feel of the circle, it feels like they step forward. It's a sense. It's not that they do it. It's a sense.
What does step forward mean? Meaning they intruded on the circle?
Yeah, they move forward. Yeah, they move forward. Or a hologram overlays them and that aspect of them comes forward. Some people aren't even aware of it.
So this is how you're perceiving it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, but for me, well, I haven't facilitated yet. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll let you know. But I do, for me, the more I can stay in my energy and witness and follow my guides or my heart and allow that energy in the center of it actually to build on its own from all of us, then that's a better turnout than me being in my head trying to facilitate something.
Well, that's why we begin with relaxing, mm-hmm. allowing the breath to deepen, allow the sense of being in your body, returning to your body. All of that, it begins the process of releasing the heavy energy. And that's the part most people skip over.
Okay, so this other thing's been happening too. I don't know about anybody else, but something happened to my hearing. Some people, not all people, but I don't even know how to explain it, except that it's like the etheric ear is completely cleared and it sounds like people are yelling really loud. And I have to like literally take a step back from them and just, I think immediately, seat and feet. And sometimes I have to, you know, keep doing that a few times before. I mean, I've actually had to say recently to Scott, to my sister, to other people, I'm right here. You don't need to yell. And they're going, I'm not yelling. I'm like, yep. So
that's interesting because Ken and I can't hear each other when we're sitting even across from the dinner table. We're having the opposite effect.
Oh, that is interesting.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah, probably that frequency of
the world. The
elements of sound is shifting around a lot. It's just we're really in a shifting time. So anything you're trying to grab onto or hang on to for any length of time needs to be let go because things are moving so fast. But it's so funny because that's exactly the opposite of what we're experiencing.
Hey, that's what I was experiencing. I like that better. I don't know. I can't explain it. I don't have any idea why that has. I mean, I woke up one day.
Yeah, don't try. Don't try. Just see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And know it'll shift. Go ahead.
You talked about hearing criticism, right, from someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're not on the line, they're silenced. I don't know. The only way you could feel it is energetically. And I guess I wouldn't know if that was from myself or from someone else.
So when we're in circle, it's not criticism. That's where I'm getting a little confused here, Ken.
Yeah. What word did you use before? Wasn't criticism feeling? Negativity?
Yeah, heaviness, heavy energy, heavy energy.
Okay. Yeah.
So you're saying if you would have a hard time discerning between the group's heavy energy and your own, and you would just assume it was your own?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I mean, I do. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why we're having this discussion here, to bring that up as something to cultivate discernment around.
Mm-hmm.
So you've heard me throughout a day say, oh, you know what, I'm picking up my next client. I'm feeling a little off with it. I have to ground a little. You heard me say those things, right?
Yeah.
Right. And so I'm working with myself when I pick something like that up. And it doesn't matter if it's me or them or anything. I know my energy's off and that I have to come back, period. I'm not stopping to figure out if it's me or them. I just know I got to come back to my attunement.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Yep. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sarah, it's Renee. What your question a bit ago was about what happens if you're facilitating and you're focusing on the other people in the group. Was that your question?
No, it was if you're focusing on whether they like what you're doing, like
yeah.
that kind of focus.
Yeah, that is, I would say, one of my biggest so-called downfalls when I facilitate. I want everybody to feel fabulous, and that's where I can lose my grounding, for sure.
Uh-huh. Right. So that creates motivation for regrounding more deeply within yourself. Learning to mature beyond the need for approval and being more attuned to the higher guidance. So it just forces a growth process.
Yeah, I'm really feeling that. I'm kind of bumping up against that, so to speak. And that's really I would say the biggest teaching that I'm digesting right now.
Uh-huh. It really motivates and almost forces you to make a decision at any point. Where is my attunement? Where am I aligned in within myself? And am I attuned to my higher being? Am I light? It really is a practice of detachment. And that's why being a facilitator, you're the person who grows the most.
It's for me, it's really unwinding so much of the patterning from my childhood, which I had, you know, as long as everybody around me is in a good mood, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I'll be safe. And then it got mimicked in a different way with all the facilitating gestalt stuff and having to track every single person in the group. And if there's distress in someone, then I need to attend directly to that person. Mm-hmm. And if that didn't happen, then I wasn't a good facilitator, or maybe I was criticized or would be for not caring. Mm-hmm. And this just turns all of that inside out.
Mm-hmm. And that's how you got trained in your therapy training, your pastoral training, and your gestalt training.
It's especially gestalt, it's to kind of uh-huh. shuttle between what's happening with me, what's happening with the other person, what's happening with the group. But
right.
there's always the tracking of what's happening with this person and that person. And helping to modulate other people's distress.
Right. You become the regulator.
Well, yes. Yes. And this is, I mean, this is like, I'm really working through this, and it's challenging.
Yes, it is. And it is the best growth cycle you could be in. Because if you can discern where your light is and you're going to orient, keep orienting back to it, it is going to take you through what the Buddhists and the Hindus and everyone talks about as the practice of detachment and alignment and immersion in the light of your being.
As you're saying this, I've got some tears coming up, and I'm realizing how much of this I carry. I'm not the only one, but for myself, how much responsibility and intellectually knowing this, but still not really embodying this, and the weight that I carry in terms of what everybody else around me is feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's really outrageous. And I remember, Sarah, when I first started studying with you years ago, you were leading a circle, and somebody in the circle burst out into tears and was sobbing. And she got up and ran into the bathroom. This was a long time ago, but you were grounded, you stayed facilitating. And I had a thought. I was like, wow, that's kind of cold. Sarah doesn't really care about this person. And that was a long time ago, and that really struck me. And over the years, I've realized how that was and is not the case. And I'm still stuck in some of that. Mm-hmm. But you really modeled that. You really modeled that.
So at that time, we were just holding a space so that person could go through whatever they needed to go through. And I remember running out of the room in tears when my teacher was leading something. but it, you know, there's decisions to be made in the moment of what's happening in any group. But the firmness of remaining attuned to the light of being and the guidance is the primary role of the facilitator. And that's what separates it up, like from a gestalt group or a therapy group or a card group or whatever. There is an attunement to the unseen world. That is what makes a ceremony a ceremony. It's not just the human interaction. And the impact of a ceremony isn't necessarily felt immediately. I've had put two and two together like 20 years later from something. And if I was attached to each person being happy after every single session, class, that would be a pretty miserable way of being. And many times you've heard me say, I've sat through many ceremonies and meditations and been miserable and not attuned, not feeling anything. But then later on, something wiggles through and I shift. But it's not the actual time of the ceremony. It's before, it's after, it's the multiple dimensions of it that are occurring. And you don't even know all the dimensions that it's happening on. And they're starting to open up, though. The veils are getting thinner. But all this practice is really a practice in self-realization. And every single time you lead or work with an individual, it's me that's growing. Always challenged. And remember, one of the criteria for entering into this training was being able to take direction. And that's from yourself, too. So there's this veneer out there of being the glory of being a leader. Of facilitating spiritual experiences and the it's pretty rigorous in terms of your own self-growth, what is required. But that happens in stages. The more you do it, it's not like it all happens at one time. You have to practice. And each time you practice, you get better, more aware, more skillful. But you have to be willing to self-correct and self-direct. Now, everyone will drop out tonight after this. What's happening for everyone?
Sarah, it's Kim.
Do you think
I
Renee
think
was referring to you?
she probably was.
I swear,
I don't
Kim, I was
remember.
not. I
No,
promise I wasn't, Kim.
I remember running into the woods one time. So I'll own that. I'm not sure about the bathroom, but yeah. No, I was just telling somebody else recently too that I cried a lot when I first started out, for sure. Yeah, so I guess where what I'm finding resistance in my own life is around the practice of fully clearing. And I think I'll start by saying that, like, this morning I woke up, I had a great night's sleep, or a good night's sleep, and just felt super heavy waking up. And like what Ken had said, just I took that as, oh, gosh, am I not doing this, that, and the other thing? And why am I not feeling rejuvenated? That kind of thing with a good sleep. Yeah, then that just led me into spending more time clearing and grounding. And I think that I am not clearing and grounding as much, as fully as I could be. So that's where I'm finding some resistance in my practice. There's a little bit of this ugh kind of feeling. But then I was reading through your documents because I was downloading some things today. And one of the documents, and I'm going to read part of it, it talks about integrity arises when your practice is not dependent on mood, convenience, or inspiration. And you also asked us in signing up for this class to be committed to the living energies and clearing ourselves. So part of me is appreciating definitely the conversation that the energies are, part of it is group energies. But I'm also just sharing that I have my own work to do around clearing more fully. Or I guess it's just more often. with signing up with this class, we're all exposed to being learning about this, which I may not have felt as strongly in like your other classes. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right. I would not have this discussion in any other class.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what I have found sobering. That's my point.
Okay. Okay. And I'd like to add, it's the practice. So some days, remember, I always say, some days the practice just is practice. Some days it feels a lot better. Some days it just mm-hmm. is practice. And that's how it is. Mm-hmm. So some days you're just not going to clear perfectly. You don't know if something's going on in Miami or New York City where your kids are and
right.
what's going on around the planet and all that kind of stuff. But you put in the time to practice, and ultimately over days, hours, or minutes, something will shift. But it doesn't have to be perfect every time.
Right.
It's the and practice.
And I also wrote down enlightenment as a practice, because we can get to an enlightened place. It might not be every day. And by enlightenment, I mean like that sovereign place. And I guess the other question I was wondering is like, when in your training or as you've evolved as a facilitator in sacred circles, I'm assuming that you may have hit that kind of wall too before. And do you have anything else to share about that, if you have? I guess you just shared it. It's some days are different. Not every day is the same.
Yes. And what I would say, what's coming to me right now, and what cultivating this relationship with the unseen world, with Mother Earth, Father Sun, the elements, the directions, the living energies, keeps you growing. And ceremony isn't ceremony without the participation of these multidimensional intelligences. So every time you reduce something down to yourself, solely yourself, the old pull yourself up by the bootstraps mm-hmm. concept, it completely shuts down the living energy.
Mm-hmm. I feel that when you're saying that. Mm-hmm. I feel your words.
And I think everyone can feel the difference between when you make it kind of all about all 3D and objectified and materialistic and conditioned versus allowing the flow and the living energies to guide your consciousness. And by guiding, I mean like allowing it yourself to be immersed in it so much that you become the living energy. And then you don't need a checklist. But in terms of this training, the checklist is something that you do want to have practice with, so that it slows you down and reminds you that if you don't stop to relax and you skip over that place, nothing's going to happen. That's the hardest thing to teach. Nothing's going to happen ceremonially. I need to qualify it that way.